thank you again for this time that we can spend together. And thank you, Father, for Harold. We pray that you would speak through him to us and that we would be encouraged and edified. And just pray, Father, that you would bless his message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Welcome to each one. Just a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share in relation to the lesson this morning. When we talk about integrity, what are we talking about? When we talk about integration, okay, we want to talk about this cup is not integral to this pulpit, right? It's separate. If we want to integrate this into the pulpit, there would have to be something designed to make it integral, to make it one with the pulpit. When we talk about integrity in our lives, we're doing the very same thing. When we have parts of our lives that are distinct and separate, we are not people of integrity. If my life here in church is different from my life during the week, I'm not a person of integrity. If my life in front of certain people is different than my life in front of other people, I'm not a person of integrity. Integrity is oneness, it's wholeness, it's completeness. And I think what God is telling us there in Philippians is that part of the work of salvation, similar to what I've talked about over in James, the salvation of your souls, part of that work is for us to spend time with God, allowing God to show us what parts of our lives are not part of the one thing that matters. And bringing them to Him so that they can be integrated. And that's something that's been happening in my life over the last while. God's been showing me a number of things in my life that were not integral to who I am in Christ. And those things need to be brought into subjection to Christ, okay? So I think that's part of what our lesson is speaking of for us today. I'd like to I'd like to share a message that's been on my heart for some time, although the way that that's coming about is a bit different than I had envisioned originally, and I think you'll understand that a bit. I want us to, we've been looking and looking and looking at God. And I probably will do some more of that as we go. And you say, well, why is it so important to just keep looking at God? Well, if we're going to make God's name great, we better know what we're making great, right? And especially if we're talking about making His name great in our community. You know, if we're going to go out there and proclaim this God to our community, we better have a pretty good idea of what kind of a God we're proclaiming. And for that to happen, we have to understand and we have to look at who He says He is. Not about who I think He is, it's about who He says He is. Because as we've talked before, if I try to envision God or I try to create God, then I just do like the children of Israel and I make a golden calf that has no relationship to God whatsoever. So it's important for us to understand God. In order for us to have a proper view of God, there's some things about ourselves that we have to deal with. Okay? Not happening, Danny. Okay. Me and my dad. In order for us to understand properly who God is, there's some things that have to be worked at and worked out in our own lives. And one of those things, as we look at God, is we see God through the lens of our father, our physical, earthly father. That is how we tend to see God. And so many times, many people struggle with seeing God for who He is because they see Him through that lens. And we want to look at that a little bit, because as we think about God surrounding us, that's a beautiful picture. But we have to look at some things in order to be able for us to deal with and to understand if that's going to happen. I was talking with some people, several different people, recently. And I came away with a heart that was hurting and trying to understand. Because I was talking with some people that had been molested by their father. Horrible. I can't imagine what kind of a picture that would give a person of God. A God who would only use them for what He could get from them. A God who wouldn't care about them, but only misuse. And I want to just say this. I know well enough by what I've read, what I've looked at, what I've understood, that in a crowd of this size, there's more than one who's been there or are there. If that's the case, please, please, please find help. We're here to help. We're not here to smash you down if you're dealing with some of these things. And so I want us to understand that, first of all, that it's important for us to understand. For some of us, this represents our dad in our lives. Nothing. I have no connection to my dad. My dad has no connection with me. I don't even know who my dad is. And especially for those of you that are working with Kids Club kids, this is a big deal. It's important. It's something that you need to get a hold of and you need to be aware of. It is going to be very, very, very difficult for a child who sees his dad as nothing, or maybe some big imagined thing, for that child to get a grasp of who God is. Now, it's not impossible. Don't misunderstand me. Don't go there and say, well, it's no use. No, that's not where we're going with this. What I'm saying is our perception has a big influence on what we believe. But that can be changed if we take it to the truth. And we stand with the truth and understand it. So we want to go there, but I just want us to think about it. My dad could have been a very angry man. And I see God as angry with me. You know, we grow up and our dad is just, you know, all we know of a dad is that he's angry. And we see God that way. We have a difficult time to see a God who really cares for us, who really is interested in our needs. Maybe our dad was totally distracted. He's sitting there reading the paper. When we're around, he's got his mind focused on something else and just not showing a lot of interest in us. And so we see God in that same way. God, yeah, He says He cares about me. He might tell me once in a great while He loves me, but He doesn't really care. He's all into His own stuff. Or maybe we had a dad that really cared about us. He spent a lot of time with us. His heart was for our heart. He was interested in us. And so I want us to think about this morning as we think about the God that surrounds us. Because as we ask ourselves our questions here this morning, where does your Father fit into your life? What kind of, if you pictured your dad with one of these pictures this morning, which one, or maybe you have a different picture that you're thinking of in relation to your dad, where does he fit into your life? Where's God in your life? Most likely, if you take that picture of your father, unless you've taken some steps to find healing for your heart, unless you've taken some steps to go to where the truth really is about who God is, you're going to find something like this. How I see my Father is how I see God. And it's going to cause a big problem, a big block in your life in really appreciating who God is and what He really, really wants to do for you. Why is He there? Why is God there? Is God here because He is totally interested in you and I? Or is He here because He has some agenda and we're just pawns that He's using to accomplish His agenda? We don't really matter to Him at all. These are things that a lot of people over history have debated and discussed and spent time thinking about. We call those philosophers a lot of times. Where would you like God to be in your life? I think within every one of us is this longing. Is this within us that somehow, if God could just be the one that wrapped His arms of love around us, and when my heart hurt, I could go to Him and He would care. It would matter to Him. I think within every one of us, there is that longing. There is that desire. We want that. But what our dad was to us often stands in the way of that. It hides that. And so as we look at God, we often get that picture of our earthly father. And it brings us a lot of pain. And so We fill our lives oftentimes with religion. If I do this, 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 and this, God will be happy with me and things will be good and we can live happily ever after. No, it's not there. God isn't about that. God is about relation with us, relationship. How can this happen? How can this happen in my life? That I can see the God who really wants to surround me rather than that God who looks so much like my dad and who I struggle to come close to. How can this happen? Well, number one, there has to be forgiveness. We have to forgive that person who has hurt us. That has to happen. And we may need some help to work through some of that. And there's several of us here that have been through some of this and are able to work with that. Sheldon's have, Danny's have. Different ones of us have been through some of this. Sam's have. A number of us have been through some of this type of thing, and we're here to help. If you're struggling with this whole thing of who God is and how to get close to God, and it seems like every time you get about so close to God, all of a sudden that's it. You can't get any closer. Something just blocks the way. So we're here to help. Where would God like you to be? Where would He like you to be? You know where He wants you to be? He wants you to be so close to Him that you just can't wait until you can get into His presence and you can feel His arms around you and you can know that He cares about you and that you matter to Him. That's where God wants us to be. And we can be there. I'll just tell you, I have experienced over the last while the reality of that in some beautiful, beautiful ways. And God wants that for each of us. How can He get me there? How's God going to get me to that place? Well, sometimes He has to work in some ways that aren't so pleasant in our lives. But remember this, that God is trying to use your life's experiences to bring you to that place of appreciating and understanding and living in that care. So let's just look at that this morning. God's protection, this is scripture. God's protection is not dependent upon my parents' care. I said we often see God in that way. In Psalm 27, verse 10, it's a very interesting verse. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And that word forsake there means to leave, to abandon, to forsake, to neglect. And that describes what has happened with some of our parents. They've left us. They've abandoned us. And when we talk about abandonment with a parent, that doesn't necessarily mean physical abandonment. It doesn't mean that they were gone from our lives and we never saw them. That can also mean emotional abandonment, where they were there, but there was no emotional connection whatsoever. So those words are some pretty scary words for a human being. To be forsaken, to be abandoned, to be left, to be neglected. And so God is saying, look, These are things that people deal with. But I'm here for you. The Lord will take me up. He'll gather you. And the picture that I get here is that He wraps His arms around you and pulls you close to Himself. He gathers you. It also has the picture of He's bringing up the rear. And that's the idea that even though your parents are gone, they're not in your life, God is there behind you. He's right there. He's with you. He's caring for you. So God's protection is not dependent on the care or lack of care that we experience with our parents. Now, God has our future. And I want us to look at a number of ways of what God says about Himself and how He surrounds us. And I want you to take these verses. I want you to take these things about God. And I want you to take them and make them your own. And if you come to this and you say, I want this to be in my life and it's not happening, I just get so far and that's it. I can't get past there. Get somebody to help you to be able to get past those things and find help and hope. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. He's talking to the children of Israel and he says, in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. But I want us to notice, here's people that did not connect with God the way God wanted them to. But it was not God's fault. Here's what God was doing. He went in the way before you to search out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. The picture here is the children of Israel. They're going in a place they don't know. They have not been here. They need someone to go in front of them. You and I are going through life just like this. We're going through life. We need to know where to pitch our tent. We need to know where to find water. We need to know where to find our needs met. And God is there to do that. The problem was the children of Israel wouldn't let Him do it. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't follow. Here's the picture. God's out in front of them. He's going out ahead. He's searching out the land. He's looking things over. And then He says, come this way. Here's where I want you to go. Here's the place of blessing. And they say, oh, doesn't look like a place of blessing to me. Isn't that exactly what we do? Think about where they were. They're in the wilderness. There's nothing like what they've been promised. Vineyards, you know, with these huge clusters of grapes and honey and milk flowing and all this stuff. And they're looking and they're saying, I don't see any of that. God doesn't do what He says. But God was out in front of them, leading them, showing them the way. You know what? God wants to do the same thing for us too. He wants to go in front of us and check it all out and have the way cleared and prepared and ready for us to come into. So that's important for us. And not only that, but in Joshua chapter 1, verse 24, he says, not only did I go in front of you, but I sent the hornet out in front of you. Or sorry, Joshua 24, 12. I sent the hornet out before you. And then Jesus in Mark 14, verse 28, says to His disciples, after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. I'll go before you. Now think about it. Here's a group of men that had all forsaken Him. They didn't deserve anything from Him. And they sensed that very keenly. But Jesus says, when I'm arisen, I'm going to go before you into Galilee. I'm the same God. I'm going out in front of you. I'm looking for the best places for you. I'm preparing the way. I'm working things out for your good. He has our future. He also has our back. Okay, get this picture. The children of Israel are going in front, or are following God. He's in front of them, but He's also behind them, bringing up their rear. And this is how He says that in Isaiah a couple places. Isaiah 52:12. Don't go out with haste, nor go by flight. The Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. In other words, He's coming behind you. In Isaiah 58:8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. I like that especially because that was pictured for the children of Israel. When they came out of the land of Egypt, you remember they came up to the Red Sea. And they looked back, and the Egyptians were coming after them. Between a rock and a hard place? Yeah. There was no place to go. They were dead ducks. Well, the Lord was in front of them, wasn't He? Yeah, He led them there. So what were they going to do? You remember what happened? The Lord put the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day between them and the Egyptians. And the Egyptians could not get to them. They could not get to them. The glory of the Lord was the reward. So God says, I got your future, I got your back. So what else is left? As it relates to the timeline of life, there is nothing else. We're going to look at some more things. But I want us to see this the beauty of this. The God who surrounds us. He's in front of us. He's behind us. He's gone out and He's searched out what's ahead. And we are not going to come into something that He has not already prepared the way. And nothing is going to be sneaking up behind us and getting our back because He's back there also. Now, not only that, He's on every side. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. David said, "The Lord my God has given me rest on every side." On every side. That's amazing. God is on every side. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 22. The Lord saved Hezekiah, and He guided them on every side. Now, is this just about the children of Israel? Is this just about what happened back in the Old Testament? No. Corinthians tells us these things happen for examples for us. So that we can learn, so that we can profit. Psalm 71, verses 20 and 21. Look at this one. This is interesting. You, which has showed me great and sore troubles. You showed me these big troubles. You will quicken me again. And you'll bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You'll increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Corinthians talks about the God of all comfort who comforteth us in all of our tribulation. Comfort on every side. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. Here's Paul. We were in Macedonia. Our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Outside were fightings. Inside were fears. Been there? Outside it looks like there's no hope. Inside you're just scared to death what might or might not happen next. Paul says that's where he was at. This is the Apostle Paul. He knew who God was, and he says, here's what I was dealing with in my own life. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Comforted us on every side. Outside, inside, every side. The God who is on every side of us. I don't know what that does to you when you start thinking about these things. But it just makes my heart overflow with worship. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. God's Word, Christ, is present. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 8. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Don't say in your heart, who's going to ascend into heaven? In other words, to get Christ. Or who's going to descend down and bring him up? You know, we want him with us. But here's the deal. The Word is nigh thee. It's even in your mouth and in your heart. The Word's right there. God is present with us in His Word, Christ. So Paul says, don't struggle with this about how you can get Christ to come and be with you. You don't have to have some famous minister or prophet or whoever that has these close connections with God to get God and bring Him to you. You don't have to have somebody go and discover where He is and bring it. No, He's right there. He's right there. He's with us, the God who surrounds us. Now, not only is He the God who surrounds us, but His angels are directed to surround us. Psalm 91, and this is a passage here, go read it, but I just picked out this verse in particular. This is prophetic about Jesus Christ, but it's also speaking to us. He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. His angels, Hebrews tells us, His angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. And so as heirs of salvation, God has given His angels to surround us as well. Not only is He surrounding us, but His angels are there to surround us. You remember how it went back with the prophet. He and his servant were up on a hill, and the army was coming. They wanted him. They were coming to get him. And his servant said, "Oh, Master, Master, what are we going to do? Look! Look! There's this huge army coming. What are we going to do? It's just you and me. We can't fight these guys off." And the prophet prayed and he said, God opened his eyes. And he saw a host of angels. And so we sing that song, there's more with us than be with them. We're on the winning side. Because the hosts of heaven surround us as well. Nothing can separate us from His care. Romans chapter 8 there, the end of the chapter. And by the way, that chapter is so rich, talking about God and His Spirit working in us and how He longs to have that fellowship with us and become all to us. And then he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate us from that? Okay? Is there persecution? Is there tribulation? Is peril? Is the sword, death, facing us? What's going to separate us? Who's going to separate us? What's going to be able? God is surrounding us. What is able to separate us from that love? If God's got His arms of love wrapped around us, and we are close to His heart, what is going to be able to come and jerk us away? Nothing. And that's what Paul says. Nothing. I am persuaded. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The God who surrounds us with His love. Wherever I may go, He is there. And this, I don't know about you, but as a child growing up, this was scary to me. I think back about that and I wonder why. Was it the way it was presented? I'm not sure. This is not intended to be scary for you at all. This is intended from God to give us hope and purpose and life. The God that is around us, wherever I may go, He's there. Psalm 139, you hem me in, behind and before. Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? You're surrounding me, God. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I go down into the depths of the sea, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. It's from the NIV. I like the way it reads there. Wherever I may go, God is there. He's the God who is surrounding me. What's His promise? I will never leave you or forsake you. Even though your father and mother may have forsaken you, I will never forsake you. Next one, Danny. God has promised our protection. Psalm chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. And you might say, well, this doesn't quite fit with this. Well, I think it does. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side. When the vilest men are exalted. We see that in our world today. Men who have nothing to do with God being raised up and being looked up to, being spoken well of. And it's like we're in a bubble. I get that picture when I read this verse. I'm in a bubble. And it's not just some imaginary bubble. It's the bubble of God surrounding me. Nothing. He says, you'll keep us, O God. You are there. Nothing can come into my life if it is not allowed by God. Nothing. The God who surrounds me. God is indwelling us. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, the place where He lives, is with men. And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. He's here now. We are His tabernacle. He is living in us. Not only is this speaking something that is to come, but it's also speaking of something that is now. You notice He said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Not will be, it is. God's presence is here. God's longing is to live within us. His longing is to be a father unto us. That Father, that perfect Father, that we never had. Because in spite of how well our Father cared for our hearts, just like that last picture, our fathers were not perfect. We all have father wounds. Something that our fathers did that hurt us. No matter of their best intentions. But our Father God wants to be there with us. He wants to surround us. And He wants to be that Father to us that will give us the privilege and the joy and the blessing of saying, Abba, Father. Papa, Father. God, my Father. I come and I bow before You and I worship You. I love You. I want to be in Your presence. I long to come into Your presence and to feel Your arms of love surround me. Let's stand together for prayer. After prayer, I'm just going to dismiss you. Men need to go and have a men's meeting. But I just really encourage you, if there's something here you're struggling with and you want some help with, it's not a disgrace to ask for help. It's not a disgrace to say it's not happening like I'd like it to happen. It's a disgrace to come face to face with that and walk away and say, I'm not doing anything about it. That's a disgrace. That's a shame. That's sad. But to come to those things and say, something's got to change. I got to have help. It's not a disgrace. I found it's a blessing in my own life. Let's pray. God, our Abba Father, Papa, the one who invites us into Your very presence, the one who joys and delights over us with singing, the one who is before us, going before us, preparing the way, the one who is behind us, protecting us, the one who is all around us, the one who is within us. I pray, God, today that You put in each of our hearts that longing to know You in that way, O God. To come close to You, to understand You, to experience the freedom and the joy and the blessing that comes from knowing that we've been set free from those things that have held us back and drag us down. And cause us not to be where we want to be with You. We thank You, Father. We ask You to dismiss us now with Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.